19 years old when I got into the Big 12. Just kidding. No, not even.
As much as people tell us it helps them, it's helping that we're getting so much out of it as well. So, yeah.
I love being able to call John O'Neill and talk to him.
Losers have excuses and winners have programs. So I figured that I'd just call it.
I've heard it said that a referee can make up to 7 decisions per play.
Let's just get right to the news.
And I have never known 10-2-5-A-1 better than I do right now. Thank you.
A genuine love of football that came from my dad. I don't know how close this episode will air to Father's Day, but how about a shout out to all the dads out there?
I hope all the dads out there are free of the big freeze that's all over this country right now, other than our neighborhood.
Yeah. Hopefully folks are staying warm.
Yeah.
It's a tough deal.
Stay inside.
Yeah. I mean, we complain about our little... cold
31 degrees and sunny.
Yeah. People over there are like losing power and it's freezing out. It's crazy. So
we're back again.
We are back.
We're gonna have a little topic today, just Dwayne and I. So this should be fun. So thank you again for all of you out there that take the time to play this little discussion on a device of some sort, and listen, we appreciate that.
Yeah, ditto. I can't say it better. Just thank you, as always.
Yep, and thanks to the patrons that are out there as well. We appreciate that. We're going to try something a little different today.
What's that?
Instead of saying, how was your week, I want you to tell me one thing that you enjoy to do other than this.
Nothing. No.
Oh, come on.
So, I mean, I guess if I wasn't doing, if I had, you know, time off not to study or whatever I'm doing, I like to, you know, go to movies with my son. Uh-huh. If it's a good movie out, that's one of the fun things I like to do. But individually, I like to play golf. Mm-hmm. I used to coach youth sports. I used to like that kind of thing. So, but kind of as I'm growing older,
right.
Golf. Yeah, I like golf a lot.
All right. Do you get enough time to do that?
No.
No.
Not at all. Golf takes a long time.
It does.
If I, let's say, went to golf for like, takes 4 hours a round.
Minimum.
Plus an hour on each side, hanging out with the guys or something. Mm-hmm. It's like a work day.
It is a work day. It's putting in work.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Every once in a while, I'll try to get out there. So.
Yeah. Good.
Okay. So how about you? No job, no work. You're like, you don't have to work. It's the weekend.
Yeah.
You know, you just passed all your tests, clinic tests.
Uh-huh.
What are you doing?
Okay. So I like to do a lot of things.
Yeah.
The unfortunate thing is there's never enough time to do the things that I like to do.
Yep.
Ever. Which is unfortunate, but that's the way it is.
Okay. This is magical fantasy land.
Yes.
You have time to do something.
Yeah.
Tell me what you would do.
Well, you want to, okay. So right now, my hobby other than this that I do is like we talked a little bit last year.
Yes.
Is I'm addicted to growing turf grass.
Yes.
And I tinker around. I talk to professionals to get all sides of inside information, inside trader information on what to use and to kind of perfect this little art that so many real pros out there do. And but because I love golf as well.
Yeah.
I grew up a golfer as a kid for probably 4, 5 or 6 years old. And I always wanted a piece of the golf course at home. So that's kind of where that stems from. And it's a stress reliever for me. Yeah. So that's what I do mostly nowadays. But there's all kinds of other things that someday I'm able to touch on.
I'm trying to limit it.
Yeah. No, yeah. That's why I say one thing. And that's what it is for me now. That's my other thing that I do when I'm not doing this and I'm not in the house with the family. I'm outside firing up some machine and and which I have way too many of, by the way. I sold one though, so I'm reducing. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, and the grass looks amazing, by the way.
It doesn't look great right now. So come on.
I mean, by his standards.
By my standards, it looks like crap. But that's okay. It's wintertime, and I got a worm problem.
Yeah. So, but his stuff is tight in the summer, boy. Should see it.
Yeah. So anyway. That's it.
Yeah.
A little bit about us.
All right.
So I had a little request for that, so that's why I came in. Okay. Emails.
Email
or
so
comments.
Thanks for the emails and the comments you sent it in. I think this came through as an email, but it was sent through the website, and it was from Brian. And Brian is one of the officials that are freezing in Minnesota right now. So
very cold.
Stay warm. He mentions it in his email. So it says, thank you for all you do. I've learned so much over the past year. He says, lowly wannabe D3 sub official freezing in Minnesota. I promote you to anyone I can. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
And keep up the good work. So thanks for listening, Brian. Thanks for sending the email, and you keep up the good work as well.
Yes, I have, absolutely. So
I'll start somewhere.
Right. And we're all peers here.
We are.
So thank you again.
So what's the show about today?
We're going to talk rule study tips.
Yeah, it's a good topic. I get that question a lot. You know, how do you study the rules? Right. I've asked that question in the past to people.
Right.
So, and it's about time.
Mm-hmm.
People should be hitting the
ball. Yeah, it's getting close. So there is no right or wrong way, I believe, but everybody's different. So we're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
And it stems from a couple of things we'll talk about. So
how
can people reach us?
Oh, good question. Everything's Rule 11 officials. So Twitter at Rule 11 officials. Email is rule11officials@gmail.com. And then the website is rule11officials.com. And so there's a contact form on there as well. There's also an email subscription box. You just put your email in and hit subscribe and you get all the emails that we send. So there we go.
Yep.
Get great information like the email rules exchange, which I sent out last week.
That should start here real soon.
Starting soon, so.
Okay, so let's get started. What do you say? Got anything else? Oh, wait, no, that's what we're starting with.
Is that what we're starting
with? Yeah, we're starting with the quote.
Okay.
See how I played with that on the fly?
Yeah.
What's the quote of the week, Dwayne?
Quote of the week.
I'll have some playing music for that. Something different.
This is from General George S. Patton. It says, a good plan violently executed today is better than a perfect plan tomorrow.
Back to today. Well, yeah. Right? A good plan violently executed today is better than a perfect plan tomorrow. Well,
yeah.
Because we're not in tomorrow. So.
Yeah. I've heard the don't let perfect get in the way of good. So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Another solid one.
There you go.
Okay, so we're going to talk about rule study tips.
Yeah, so...
different methods of learning.
There's different methods. Mm-hmm. You know, in general, people learn differently, right? So we're going to provide some things we've done and we still do that may help you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can pick and choose your own, you know, hopefully build your own kind of study plan. So
yep.
I think that's kind of the goal here. Right?
So... bullet point number one is the biggest portion, I think. One of the biggest, depending on where you're at currently.
Yeah, yeah.
So what do you think we can expand on that?
Well, I know for me,
mm-hmm.
When you're first starting out into this book coming from the high school book, it's a different learning, right? You're just trying to learn everything you can learn and as fast as you can learn it. So... my method for learning for studying the rules was different than it is now.
Okay.
That I have whatever, I don't know, 7-8 years of in that book.
What do you think evolved that? Just the time in it or learning things along the way or both?
In it, and then a couple of other things that one thing I would suggest is when you're studying all these years, you're looking at the same book mm-hmm. for however many years your career is, but essentially, you got to do different things or it's going to
become bland.
You got to come at it from different angles, right, basically. So I like to put it.
Mm-hmm.
Or else you're going to just kind of gloss over things because you already know it. And sort of. So, yeah. So I guess part of it is that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How about you? Did similar sort of.
Yeah, I really kind of believe in your product of the environment you're in. Mm-hmm. And so wherever you are sitting at the time of you're doing your learning, like when you're in meetings, it kind of gets molded of the people that are there. So I give a lot of compliments to the officials that were there when I first got in to kind of say, okay, that's how I kind of want to be.
Yeah.
And then I watch, and then I just kind of start developing my own way around that first impression. And that's how it was for me. And there's a couple officials that were in that room that really kind of impressed me in ways. And that's kind of how I tried to mold myself around. And I think that's how it's gone.
Yeah.
Over the last first few years. So.
No, that's a great point. Just having examples of what having a standard.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes from watching other people and how well they know the rules and that sort of thing.
Right.
We've had great examples of that. And so that's one of the things we set as goals, you know, try to achieve that level mm-hmm. of standard. So,
and I'll bring off of a point that we had last week when we were talking, or not last week, but a couple weeks when we were talking with John.
Yeah.
And John, you made the mention of, when he replies back to you and says, "Are you sure?"
Yeah.
And I made the statement that, well, that's the key to tell you when you're wrong.
Yeah.
Well, maybe with sometimes. Maybe and sometimes, but yeah. In my early on experience, there was a couple hard-nosed guys that would say, "Are you sure?" But they would do that to build confidence in yourself,
right?
To say, "Yeah, I am sure," because yeah. they would do that when you were right, but they were testing you, right? So all these little. Idiosyncrasies, I think, really kind of help mold a young official, a young experienced official, into where they can be. So I really pulled a lot from that.
Yeah, all good points.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
you're gonna take your lumps early. I think that's kind of part of the point.
Right.
Early, as in your career.
Mm-hmm.
Later on in a career, you start moving toward being a teacher, right?
Right.
Being a mentor, and so. So then there's another level kind of studying.
Yeah, because once you're in a long time, the book doesn't change a lot, right?
Yeah.
So you have this thick foundation of the rules that have not changed over years. So it's every year we just got to refresh on what's new.
Yep.
And but the foundation never changes for the most part. And so that's what I grab most of now today is really stay solid on the stuff that hasn't changed.
Mm-hmm.
And then really work on the stuff that does and then go from there. But so what else we got? Types of learners.
So, yeah, I mean, people learn differently.
Right.
What
kind of learner are you?
I have to see it in a book, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like I can't study the rules on an electronic device for some reason.
Okay.
I could look them up and kind of reference some things, but that couldn't be my study.
Okay.
Go to, right? I'm also need to write things down.
Yes.
For me, like pen to paper mm-hmm. kind of etches it in my memory or something. And I have a kind of a photographic memory as well. So if I see it on paper,
mm-hmm.
you know, I can kind of close my eyes and see the words on the paper. So that's kind of me a little bit. So that's me. I'm kind of, I would say kind of old school is kind of read the book and kind of remember some of the lines and mm-hmm. that sort of thing.
Yeah.
That's kind of the learner I am.
I gotcha.
Yeah. How about you?
Yeah. It's a little bit of the same, but a little different.
Yeah.
I'm a lot more visual. I mean, visual as of like, I can read defensive pass interference.
Yeah.
But I need to really see it too. And that, what I mean by that is that helps kind of mold the barometer of what I'm going to believe in myself, what is or what isn't. But as far as the wording goes, I'm not a grade A book learner. So I have to read multiple times for it to really kind of hammer in. But once it does, it's there. Like, here's a good example. If I put the book down for a month and don't think about anything, I really regress. So I can't stop. For me, I can't.
I know I have the same thing, right? I start losing the details,
finer
details. Right. And so I guess that's probably going to be point number one is it's got to be a continuous thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about some of the phases, you know, I guess maybe we could talk about it now a little bit.
Sure.
It's like, what kind of goals are you're setting? At some point, you're going to say, you know, why are you studying the rules?
Right. You just read it to read it.
Different parts of the season, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm studying the rules because I got a clinic coming up, and I need to pass this test, or the CFO test, national test is coming up. I need to pass that.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get past that is I need to know the rules because I'm about to hit the field in late August or September, and I want to know the rules and apply them on the field. So, so based on that, there's you know, I think. Or I want to study rules because I want to win this email rules exchange, right?
Yes,
that's another level.
Right. Yep.
Another different thing. So all of them are good, but you may study a little differently for each of those.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's the point I was kind of make. So I kind of want to get into kind of some nuts and bolts now, like how.
Yeah, let's do it.
Like how to study the rules, right? Mm-hmm. This is what the show is about. That was kind of
the Let me say one more thing before we move on. Because this is something that I did before I was an actual on-field official. I was just a candidate. And I didn't know really what to read, so I would kind of bounce all over the place. So my first year to really just kind of be narrow-minded was in January, which is month number one, I read rule one and nothing else.
That's it, yeah.
February, rule two. And because there's how many rules are there?
Yeah.
There's 12.
Yeah.
So November's your easiest.
But, oh, yeah. Or whatever four is, right? April and May.
Right. So, but that was what I did in my first year just because I didn't know what to do or where to go. I mean, obviously, I did other things, but.
Well, that's a good point. Do something, right?
Right.
Just read the book.
Right.
So
that worked for me. Maybe that'll work for you.
When I started out, I was sort of the same way, right? But I just broke it up differently. You know, the longer ones, I gave myself more weeks to read slowly and do some other things. So, all right.
Okay, nuts and bolts.
So, nuts and bolts. So, with anything that you want to get better at, you have to put in the work.
Yeah.
Like, you have to put in the work, make a commitment to doing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just rule study. It's whatever whatever you're trying to get better at.
Right.
Put in the work. So that's not rocket science right there. So, and if you listen to our goal setting podcast, the first one of the season, we use this term called GPSA.
Yep.
And that is a way to almost guarantee that you'll hit your goals. And GPS stands for goal, plan, schedule, and accountability partner.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your goal? You got to, so with, when you're applying it to rule study, you can ask yourself, what is your goal? Is your goal, I'm trying to get, you know, 98%+ on the clinic test in July.
Mm-hmm.
If you're real specific with your goal, that'd be great. Of course, we always say, write it down, right? Write your goals down.
Yep. Once and then tell somebody.
Yeah. Write your goals down. That's the accountability part.
Right.
Make a plan. So how are you going to, is it one rule per month, like you said?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not if it's a July goal, right? But you work backwards and break it up and make a plan. Say, I'm going to read the book every week, you know, four times, seven times a week. Whatever your plan is, write it down.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing, schedule dedicated time. You have to schedule dedicated time to doing, reading the book and doing some other tasks that go along with just reading the rule book. By the way, there's like three books to read.
Yeah, right? Not a lot.
There's the rule book, there's the mechanics, and then there's the instant replay. And then lastly, get an accountability partner. Mm-hmm. Share your goal and your plan with them, and then meet with each other, and you can either help each other or become study buddies, and we'll talk a little bit about what Tyler and I have done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so that's how to actually do the plan. So
I mean, yeah, we touched on that on an earlier show, but this is so important that in everything we're doing, we have to have a plan. So if I want to get better at the rules, I can't just wish to be better. We've talked about that too. Just got to work, and the best way to do it is to have a plan. So I gave Dwayne a small goal of mine this first couple of months of the off season is to get better at Rule 12. I don't look at it a lot. I do this time of year because of the rules exchange.
Mm-hmm.
But once the season starts, I am not an on-field official that deals with replay. So I kind of put it on the back burner for the in-season portion. So I asked Dwayne, and I put a plan together. If you can, please send me a question today with replay. Please.
Yeah.
Please. and he is great. So, and that's the only way I'm going to get better. And then also I have to start to learn how. For me, and we'll all talk about this going along, is myself writing replay questions too, because that helps me pen to paper. So,
we're going to talk about kind of two methods or two kind of study methods
that are out there
we've come across and view some portion of it along the way. The first one is that I think most people know about. Or maybe they don't if you're newer, is Rodgers Redding's guide, right? Study guide. And it's a kind of a, I don't know, it's just what it is, a study guide. Mm-hmm. It's a different way of looking at the rule book.
Yeah.
And so have you used this in the past?
I have, yes.
Yeah. Now, how have you used it? Do you like totally disregard?
No. I used it my first year, and I kind of skimmed through some things. And when I was reading it, I wasn't always in it. But what I did find was interesting terms that stuck with me. Which is nice, is because they have some place and errors within the rule as you're going along. It's not like the ARs are all at the end of the book. They have some things, and they have other diagrams that kind of help picture things. So it's more like, if you will, NCAA rules for dummies, because it's laid out real
differently,
but easy to kind of navigate through, at least in one rule with examples.
Oh, gotcha.
Other types of examples that are visual. If you're in rule nine and you're reading about blocking below the waist and probably the 10 and 2 clock reason, they probably got a cool diagram picture that kind of helps visually see that.
But it wasn't
really for me, but
they probably talk about exceptions in the same area. So you don't have to keep flipping.
Right.
Kind of like the,
I think that's what it's linear. So you kind of just stay right along with everything. So it's good at the beginning, I think.
So, the way I used it, there's two things. One, I kind of use it as a compliment to the NCAA book. I read the book early on, the NCAA book, read it early on. And then when I didn't understand stuff, I went to the Rodgers Redding guide and looked for a different explanation of it. So that was one thing I did with it. The other thing is the Rodgers Redding guide suggests, I haven't looked at it in a couple of years, but it used to suggest, and I probably still do, is that when you go as a way to study, as you go through the rule book, you write down, you rewrite the rule in your own verbiage.
Yes.
Like
it's in like the foreword almost or something like that.
Yeah, I think so. As a way to study the rules. And so that's what I started doing. I almost like got a composition notebook and I'd go through the rules and like almost rewrite the rule book in my own handwriting and my language. And so that helped a little bit.
It's
a little daunting though.
I think I'm going to paraphrase, but I believe it says something like this. You read the rule to read it and you write it to own it. So when you write it down, it really cements concrete. It's just a power of pen to paper. There's got to be some studies against that. I mean, I'm serious.
It's got to be. Yeah. So this is just one method doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of like manual work, but it works.
Yep.
And if you're that kind of a learner,
try it.
It's something to try. Right.
Yep.
And maybe you don't even have to do it with the whole book, just maybe a section sure. that you don't, you're not real comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and so what's the second method?
The one that I know about is the Ryan Dixon method.
Yeah. We're going to call it the Ryan Dixon method.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a PowerPoint that Ryan put together. I don't know when, probably a few years back. That breaks it down pretty well. And so we'll share the PowerPoint with you.
Yeah, we'll put it
on. And you can look through it. So we're just going to touch on some bullet points of it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'll tell you what my favorite portions of it are that helped me the most. But here's what I like most about the Ryan Dixon method is on page 4 of his study guide is it talks about writing test questions. Okay. So what I liked about it most is, again, we're going to come back to pen to paper, okay? And also, the biggest portion of this is if you write questions in areas of weakness in your rules knowledge, I guarantee it you'll strengthen that weakness. And so if you – and then do it in this term. He has it laid out like this. Write them in 3 different levels, easy, hard, and what I like to call water bucket.
Yeah.
He terms it of 1 layer, 2 layer, 3 layer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But if you use those and write questions with your weaknesses, it'll strengthen that weakness. I guarantee it. That's what's worked for me.
No, that's huge. Yeah. It worked for me as well. And before you continue, can I mm-hmm. go through his?
Yes.
So he has this study routine and it sounds like daunting at first, but it's really not.
Are you going through those steps?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Okay. Yeah, don't go there yet.
Yep.
Okay. I got a little method of my madness here. Yep.
Bullet points, yeah. Okay.
Right. So, and then he goes moving on to, he kind of talks about studying, taking tests, you know, and all these ways to get better because some people are not good test takers. Some people are. So what are ways to do it? So my second favorite point is on page 5 of his let's see. Yes, page 5, bullet point number 2. It says this. It says, for that many other reasons, a simple... So this is for test taking. This is a routine for test taking, okay? If you can make a routine every time you take a test, every time you read a question, have a routine for that same question. Simple, repeatable, okay? Make your routine simple and repeatable over and over and over again. What you can do with that is you can start peeling back layers of the question. If you do it, like, for instance, and you'll read through them, but like I'm just going to give you my first one. And then Dwayne can, I always ask myself, what is the result of the play?
Yes.
Layer number 1. And that will help me with a number of aspects. And so when Ryan talks about for test taking, if you make a routine and make it simple and repeatable, it'll help you with your routine and your test taking. So if you want to go through that list, I'm going to add to it.
I was going to go to a different list.
The first, okay.
But I can go through this list. So this is a routine for, breaking apart a play scenario on
yes.
the test and helping you come to the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And so Tyler said the first one, result of the play. What is the result of the play?
Right.
Should always do that first. And maybe we'll do another episode on just kind of test take or breaking down a play scenario and that mm-hmm. sort of thing. Cause result of, you know, it's not what, what's going to end up happening. Right. It's what actually,
what happened. Did happen.
So, yeah.
Right.
So, then segments, right?
Yeah. How many play segments?
How many play segments are there? And what we mean by that, there's a run, there's a pass, there's a change of possession.
Multiple runs. Yeah. Who knows? So, yep.
Fumble, whatever. Are there fouls on the play? Or are there violations on the play?
Those are questions you're asking yourself. Is there a foul? Is there a violation?
Yeah, maybe there's not.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Maybe they're trying to get you to figure out there's no foul.
Mm-hmm.
Who gets the ball?
Yes.
Who gets the ball?
And I'm going to expand on that.
Yeah.
Who gets the ball?
Yep.
Who are we going to award the ball to?
Yep.
Okay. Because that could be an important question in some other questions, which is a whole nother conversation. But you could expand that. Like, who gets the ball, who actually has the ball in legal possession, and who are we going to award the ball to? So you yes. can expand that. So,
and okay. And then, so we have that now. What's the enforcement for right. this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
what's the result of the penalty?
And I look at that as like we're quality assuring our enforcement.
Yeah. Remember, fouls and penalties mm-hmm. are different.
Right.
Answer the question, review it one time or review it. Make sure you didn't miss any or misread any question. Then move on.
Mm-hmm.
That he has that in bold letters. Move on. You can't like stay on one question forever. Right. At some point you gotta, it's like on the field, right? At some point you gotta make a decision and go with it and live with it and move on to the next one.
And so I know this talk is really about how to study, but in my views that the test taking is all a part of it. It's all one thing. So with this is exactly how I take my tests or how I've taken this routine, and I have gotten another aspect on it that I got from another football official that I added to this. So when I take a test that's time permitting, that I have time for, like it's not a time test.
Right.
You don't, I can go through all these questions. You know, I have 30 questions and I have 40 minutes to do it.
Yes.
Okay. It's not like 10 minutes per question or whatever. If I have that scenario, Mike Livingston gave me this. Okay. I'm going to give him a shout out.
Big Mike.
I go through the test once and I write all my answers on a notebook paper, all the questions. And then I go through the test a second time with the same routine. And if I have the same answer, I know I'm right.
Yeah.
And if I get a different answer, well, I'm going to skip that one for a minute and move on. And then I'm going to come back to that one and really go through the layers to see what I might have messed up on one or the other.
Yeah.
And so that has helped a lot. And so I suggest you give it a try.
Going too fast.
Right.
Don't you hate missing a question that you know the answer to, but you just clerical error or something?
Which falls under review it, but on a different level.
But it's a different.
It's just a little lengthier. So
I'm going to rewind a little bit.
Yeah.
So at the beginning of this thing, he goes through his study routine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you specifics of his study routine.
Yes.
That's Ryan Dixon.
Yep.
Who, by the way, if you don't know, he's now in the league. Side judge in league or something, right? Side judge or field judge? I don't know.
He's a side judge.
Okay.
And he was the inventor of the rules exchange.
Yes, that as well.
So,
okay, his routine. Take 300 test questions per year.
Take them, right?
Yeah. Take them. And you have to have like a dedicated time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't just like do a question while you're watching TV or whatever. Go in a room. That doesn't mean take all 300 at once, but break it down like we just talked about. Use your plan.
And he breaks that down too within this, if you look at it.
I mean, if you did one a day,
you'd be done in a year.
You'd be good to go, right?
Yep.
Write. This is what Tyler talked about. Write 200 test questions per year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'll tell you a little way that Tyler and I kind of did that differently or shortly. Read the rule book cover to cover each year. I hope everybody's doing that at least. Some people may, you know it so well they only hit
spots, points.
Their hot spots each year. Review every new rule bulletin upon release.
That is huge.
That's kind of crucial.
Yeah, you have to do that
because stuff's like floating around in these bulletins that have not yet made it to the rule book.
Mm-hmm.
That you, that'll get you.
I'm telling you, I've had some rules discussions or play scenario discussions with officials that doesn't have a whole lot of rule support or an AR, but you go back to a 2014 week 6 bulletin that there's a little sentence in there that talks about it.
Yeah.
And
unfortunately, I mean, you have had to be there in 2014 to have the bulletins, right?
Yes, but also on the website, if you're a member of CFO, it goes all, you can archive. They're all there.
Okay.
You can go all the way back to 2013 as far as back they have it now.
So, I mean, that's one thing you can do.
Yep.
I mean, get those. Some of them are going to overlap each other. I mean, like override each other, right? So 2014 might have that one thing that still lives on. But the rest of it's overridden by 2015 and 16. So
anyway, you got to know what you're reading.
Yeah, you got to know.
What else?
Then review rules, bulletins prior to the clinic. Mm-hmm. So that's his study routine. Sounds like a lot, but if you're doing it consistently on a regular basis, it just adds up and you end up doing it.
I really suggest you just take a look at this thing. It's really...
We'll put it on the website.
So how have we...
So I mean, we've kind of done a hybrid method, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the things and this is almost how Rule 11 got started, by the way. So one time when, you know, we noticed we were all both serious about the rules or kind of had the same level of standard we wanted to get to with the rules. We just came up with the idea based on this method. Why don't we send each other a question every day?
Mm-hmm.
So Tyler and I.
And how did we do that?
We texted each other a question.
Very easy.
A play scenario every day for at least 6 months, right? Mm-hmm. And, but probably longer. I mean, we missed a day here or there, but we were pretty consistent for a good 6 months.
Sure. Yeah, you miss one every once in a while.
But. And we, you know, we give back the answer. We try to be as specific as possible. Giving the rule reference when we can to help us with the rules exchange, and that sort of thing. And am I missing anything?
Nope.
But, and this is how almost Rule 11 started. We had all of these questions in the text, and I was like, man, a lot of these questions are really good.
Mm-hmm.
And so we put together our first kind of preseason quiz.
Right.
We kind of labeled it the NIFOA, our association.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't Rule 11 there. We put it out there in the world, and people liked it. We put about, was it 50 questions?
I think it was 50, yeah.
And answers. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to get better at the rules, try doing that.
Yeah.
Putting a test together and sending it out to people.
Right.
You better be right, because you're going to get a lot of responses back on it. So, at any rate. That was just the rules thing. And we was like, oh, well, let's do that again next year. And then it turned into, okay, let's do this podcast. And that's why we still do rules today. So,
and so with the way we did that and how, and this is why I think either text or email is so good, is because, especially on a text, you have a timeline. Yeah. They're there. You can just go back and then pull them out and put them somewhere into a little database, which we have done.
Yeah.
And so they're always there. And now you easily have your database that's built up over the years. It's 300 questions. Now, if you go back and pull some, they may change, or you simply change them a little bit.
Right.
Add another layer. Or if you want to get crazy, add the water bucket layer.
Yeah.
But I mean, do it through a text message, do it through an email that's always there. Then you can compile them and save them and you know, always have them. So that's how it worked for us.
Yeah. So find a buddy, a partner. I think it works best with only two people.
Yeah.
Like on a one-on-one basis, but it works, and you'll be amazed at how much better you are at question writing. Right. Mm-hmm. You start getting better at that, and then your rule knowledge just increases.
And just the way most play scenarios are written. I mean, the more you write, the more you read, the more you look at it. Just the questions like flow through your brain when you go to take a clinic test. It's like, oh, yeah. I've seen this. There are patterns, and you'll start to see those, and you will see them, who's writing them. The funny thing about me is anytime I write a question, the running back always runs to the right.
Yeah.
Yes. Maybe you'll pick up on that. But
or the punt is high and deep.
High and deep, you know, whatever. But or he's always A7, or, you know, so I don't.
99.
You know, like if you get one from Matt Mills, it's A1 and B1. It's but it's simple.
Yeah.
So but anyways, like, do that. And it helped us.
Yeah.
So much.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So
what else
can we do?
How about playing some games? How we have some fun with it?
Have some fun with it.
What are some examples of that?
Yeah, we talked about that. I mean, you're looking at this rule for the same rule book, essentially, for years.
Right. We got to do something different. Change it up.
Yeah. And so.
So the email rules exchange is one.
Yes. And we talked about that. If you don't know about it now, go back and listen to John Braun podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a great way. To get in the book early, because you know it's coming early in the season.
Yep.
They have great questions. People think up some great questions. There's a lot of season officials over there.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll get questions like the 2014 bulletin question.
Yeah.
That's
what I'm saying. They'll pull those out, and you got to be sharp.
So, anyway, that's a good way to do it.
So here's another thing that I've kind of played around with the past 3 years is flashcards.
Flashcards.
So what I've used those for is I had a little flashcard app on my laptop for a couple of reasons. One, I first did it to start to memorize the signals. All I did was I took screenshots of the rule book signal. Yeah. And this is before I had an electronic copy of the rule book.
Yep.
And I just put pictures on my computer and you can build those onto flashcards. Like, yeah. So what is this signal? You know, I can do it two ways. What's the false start? And I can do it.
Yep.
And then turn the page. Okay, I got it right. Or vice versa. What is this signal?
Yeah.
Okay, that's loss of down. Oh, yep. I got it right. So that was the first way I used flashcards, and it really helped.
Did you do, like, I don't know, virtual flashcards on a computer or just...
All on computer.
Okay, so that's a point I wanted to make. There are virtual flashcards you can have on your phone.
Right.
And in your or on your computer,
mm-hmm.
and you can be looking at those things when you have time as well. So
yep. So that was one, and then the other is just to learn the rule references.
Yeah.
And so I really only did it for the rules exchange because of bonus points.
Yeah. When else are you going to use those?
Never.
Yeah.
Ever.
But
well, let me say that it helps you navigate through the book a little quicker.
It does.
A little quicker, maybe a minute second.
Yeah.
Because I know where I need to go.
Yeah.
Especially even if you just know what rule 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 are in 10. Yes. Okay, I need to go here for that. So just the basics. So I started with the basics. What's rule 2? Definitions. What's rule 3? Timing, substitutions, all that stuff.
Yep.
And so I just kind of went down the list, and then I just started expanding it. You know, was 3, 3, 3, 1, 3, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, but it's worthless knowledge on the field. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's something else to kind of change it up for me.
Exactly. And that's what we're talking about is do something different with it, right? You can't just keep going through rules every year the same way.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
So what else? What else can we do?
So one of the things we've done, because I think we went to a camp, SASA or something like that, and Stars and Stripes Academy, that mm-hmm. is. And the way they did the test, they put the question up on a PowerPoint, mm-hmm. and it was only up there for a certain amount of time, and then it switched to the next one. So that was and so you can build that same sort of thing yourself, either in Google Slides or a PowerPoint,
mm-hmm.
and just kind of time yourself. There's also these programs out there that quiz programs that are out there that you can create quizzes, time quizzes, mm-hmm. and do that.
Especially that quizzes program. I mean, that's actual game that you
whatever.
You're a little avatar and you send it out to people and it keeps stats and
So I mean, all of those things are games you can play with the rules just to make it a little bit more interesting for you.
But what do you think is the positive portion of doing slides on time?
Well, yeah, it definitely makes you focused. There's some negatives to it. It kind of becomes a exercise in kind of reading comprehension a little bit,
mm-hmm.
because the things up on a screen, if you're a slow reader, it's kind of hurt you a little bit,
right.
but still makes you focus on there and kind of, usually you get enough time to read it once and then answer the question.
Right.
So you got to kind of remember the details mm-hmm. of that thing.
Right.
So, I think there's some benefits to it. Again, it's just another way to, and it's a pressure building thing.
Oh, that's
you're what under pressure right. when you're doing this, right?
Right. So, which simulates on the field.
Yeah. Sort of. Yeah. It's best.
That's what I pull away from it.
Yeah.
The most. Because it's stressful to me.
Yeah.
Because I know that there's a clock.
Yep.
I can't see the clock on this one. Other programs you can.
Yeah.
Like the quizzes. You can see it.
You can see the clock.
Which is
down.
Even worse. I'm like, oh my God. And you see these little. And there's little dots under the clock. You know what the little dots are? That's where the someone else got it right at that moment. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm slower than that guy. Oh, now I'm slower than that guy. So it's just beating your confidence down. No, but that's, for me, is the hardest part because it builds stress.
Yeah.
And I think that that's an important key to try and feel.
Yeah, great point.
And so that's why I like them. I don't like them at all.
No.
Because they feel horrible.
Right.
But they're good to replicate that, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Good point. And so we don't have this one down, but just something I thought about is when you're dealing with the rules itself, other things you can do with the rule itself is if you're a referee, go ahead and make the announcement. If you're not a referee, but maybe you want to be a referee, make the announcement, right? Yep. Think about how you would announce it. If you don't have any desire to be a referee, think about how you're going to report it to the referee.
Yes.
Right. If this situation happened on the field, how would I report this to the referee?
Yes.
How would we communicate on the field?
Yes.
Right. There's a lot of pieces of it. There's multiple flags down.
Yes.
Or there's just different pieces of information. The side just has a bit of information and the headlinesman has a bit of information, but they don't know what each other has. Mm-hmm. So just play games like that with it. What if? The other thing you can do is change the question just a little bit.
Right? Just a little.
Yep.
It changes everything.
The variables in the question and see what
happens. See what happens.
Yeah. So, in a lot of ways, I just kind of play with the rules, play with rules questions, right, and that sort of thing just to make it a little bit more interesting.
Yes. I think that the point that you just made is so important that we don't do as 6 or 7 other officials other than the referee. We never, well, I shouldn't say never, because I don't know.
Yeah.
I usually never, which I'm starting to now, never practice my announcement to the referee, what I'm going to tell that person.
Yes.
And that's so detrimental, because when you got all these things going in your mind, the referee has this big bucket of announcements that he just grabs from, and they're like second nature. I think reporting to the referee should become second nature.
Yeah.
With all the variables that are built into that, but there should at least be a portion of it that should be pretty automatic.
Yeah.
And we should practice that.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. I mean, I'm a big proponent of it. I think practice everything is my mantra. And if you can practice just reporting to the referee, it's just about efficiency.
Yeah, our goal is to make the referee look good and not look bad. So the more we practice that, the easier it will be to make him look good. So that's something we should all try, I think, work on. But
so I think one of the last things we wanted to talk about is study groups.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're important, and whether they're your, your local association, you guys meet however many times you do, a month or in the off season or during the season, that sort of thing. There's that group, but there's also, self-forming groups.
Mm-hmm.
That you can get together and study the rules together.
Mm-hmm.
I would say there's a couple of warnings that I would put out there when you do this.
Mm-hmm.
One, this is me. I think you should keep it small.
Yes.
Right. I personally think if you get more than maybe 4 people, it's just going to be a chat fest, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know that you're going to get a lot out of it. Unless you're so organized that you got it down pat, you can make it work. I think in most cases, though, if it gets too large of a group, then you guys are not focusing on what you need to focus on.
Well, the only way I think a large group works is if there's a plan.
Just like
John's deal, right?
Yeah.
If you have a plan with 5 people and you have a plan that goes for 4 months, like this month, Joe is writing the questions and the other 4 are answering, et cetera. If there's a plan, then I think it could work. But if it's just kind of like, hey, we're gonna freewheel this, the smaller the better.
Yeah. And it's kind of disjointed. And like you said, this week and this week, we're going to study whatever rule or kicks or chains of possession plays, whatever it is. If you're regimented with that, that'd be great.
And how often should you meet pretty regularly, don't you think?
You should meet regularly.
Yes.
Right? You should have a cadence you're meeting at, right? Let's not meet in February and then not see each other again until April.
Yeah.
And just when, the mood suits us. Oh, hey, guys, let's get together and study the rules.
Right.
No, that's not how you get better. You have to be consistent.
Right.
So every week, every 2 weeks, just pick a day that works for the little group you're with, mm-hmm. and just kind of work on it together.
And just for an example, before we started any of this, it was Dwayne and I would meet together once a week.
Yes.
In person. Once a week. And then we'd do all other little things, you know, back and forth throughout the week. But we'd be in person once a week.
And you can do this if, you know, you don't have anybody local, because some people are kind of far out.
Yeah.
You can do this through a conference call. You could do it through Skype or whatever, Zoom.
There are lots of ways.
Lots of ways to do that. So, but get there, have an agenda, and make it productive.
Absolutely. So that's kind of it in a nutshell.
Yeah.
I love this topic because this is really what kind of got us going.
It did.
From the very beginning of just us, not even, I don't mean this as rule 11. I mean our growth process.
Right.
Our
maturation. Yeah. There you go.
It just kind of helps you really grow and go up the ladder. So I think it's one
of those foundational things you should have.
Yes.
To move up.
It is.
You can always kind of hold on to your rule knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Because it is one of the one things you can control.
It is.
And we talk about that all the time. Do what you can control 100%.
Oh, you know, I want to make two more points.
Yeah, no.
One point is, when I started, I was like, I can do this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't need a football field to go out. I don't need two teams scrimmaging against each other for me to work on
this. I don't need a computer.
I don't need a computer. Mm-hmm. I just need a book, right?
Mm-hmm. And a piece of paper.
And some paper or whatever. I can do this anywhere, mm-hmm. anytime. It's just up to me. So there's no excuse.
Right.
Right. Second point I want to make is when we first started, guys were telling me you should get multiple books. That's the point I wanted to make.
Yeah.
You should get multiple books.
Why would you want multiple?
You want a book, I mean, wherever you go. Like I said, you can study anywhere, right?
Yep.
So
mm-hmm.
guys used to put, I don't do this, but guys used to put one in the bathroom when you're doing your business.
Yep.
And open up the book, read a paragraph or two, and do it that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of books because I always keep one in my bag when I'm commuting to work and back and forth.
Yep.
And then I have one at home. And so wherever I'm at, I almost always have a rule book with me.
Yep.
Unless I'm going out to dinner with my wife or something.
Yeah,
then I have it on PDF.
So. Yeah, the first two or three years, I had three every year.
Yeah.
And until my wife got tired of taking it out of the bathroom and me putting it back, I was like, you know what? This is too much effort. So I just keep two, just like yourself. One in my work vehicle and one at home. And that way, wherever I'm at, because when I'm not in my work vehicle or I'm not at home, hopefully I'm out with my wife or some friends and I need to put that to the side. But then what happens is it comes on the telephone and then I gotta be good. So.
Anyway,
great topic. No, I'm glad you said that because that's important. It really is. So, what else? We got anything else to close?
Hopefully you got some tips you can put in your. I mean, you don't have to do one thing totally. Just grab and choose what you like.
Yeah.
Or what you think might help you
build your program.
Build your own program.
Mm-hmm.
And so. Yeah, a lot of ways to do it. So,
will we have this PowerPoint on our website? Or?
Yeah, so it'll be what I call the show notes.
Yeah.
Basically, if you go to the website, to this particular episode on the website, it'll be at the bottom of the page. It says mentioned in the show, and it'll be a link to this PowerPoint. So.
Right. And it's really a good program. It's simple. It's got great direction.
Yep.
Just give it a shot and see what happens. So.
Yeah. It's kind of, Anyways, it's like a workout plan for studying. Right?
Mm-hmm. It is. It's a brain.
I just want it spelled out for me, like what workouts I should do every day.
Exactly.
And this one kind of does that.
Exactly does that. So, okay, Dwayne, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming over.
No problem.
Stay warm tomorrow.
All right.
No, we will. It's not that cold.
It's not as cold as Minnesota.
No. Yeah. Okay, take care.
All right.